Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, ESPN 97.5.
That's what we call ourselves, sort of like a team.
A Gao Media Station.
Vasquez, beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post!
Romel Kielco now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Punta Rica! It's a Honduran connection!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show. Live from Pacific Coast Tacos in Sugarland for the Run Over Cancer Happy Hour Series. This is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters. On ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Well, the name of the street coming in here to Pacifico Tacos is called Lake Point Parkway, and it is looking like a lake outside right now. A wicked thunderstorm coming down. We got a great crew in here still hanging in there. We've got Davey Arno, the assistant coach of the Houston Dynamo, coming up shortly. We're going to continue on with Sitara Murray of the Houston Dash, who, again, are in action on Friday night. They'll be taking on Reign FC. By the way, I'm coming down there to watch you guys play, so be ready. I'm gonna try and get a nice seat field side so I can see it up close and personal. Quick word here before we go on here. I just want to remind you about Tri-Eagle Energy. Tri-Eagle Energy is bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days. They're giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. Now, you want to learn more about this? Text POWER, P-O-W-E-R, to 77177. You sign up for any power to win electricity plan. You're going to receive two Dynamo game tickets, two T-shirts, and then you're automatically enrolled to enter for free electricity for a year. Now, each time the Dynamo win a home game, Tri-Eagle Energy will draw a lucky fan or customer to win a free year of electricity. Imagine that. That's not a bad thing. Dynamo are on a winning streak, too, at home, usually. And I have a feeling they're going to knock off the Fire this weekend. They've been winning a lot this season. Again, you can also enter to win by texting POWER, P-O-W-E-R, to 77177. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com to learn more. P-U-C-T, hashtag 164. Big shout out to Jay and everybody down at King's Court on a rainy night. King's Court right by the stadium. That's a great place to watch the Community Shield this Sunday between Liverpool and Manchester City. El Batallón, the Dynamo supporters group, goes there. That is King's Court. That is right down by BBVA Compass Stadium. It's a great place to go before a Dash game or a Dynamo game. Go there before the Dash game on Friday night. It's King's Court, HoustonTX.com. All right, back to Sitara Murray, who has so graciously come out here tonight to Sugar Land, Texas. So let's go back to Rachel Daly, her influence, Kalia Ojai, and then maybe the confidence you guys have grabbed with the win over Sky Blue.
Yeah, definitely. I think especially grabbing in the last three, the last three games, getting 6 points out of nine, I think that's a huge confidence booster for all of us. Games in the past haven't been our way, so finally getting a couple of wins under our belt have been tremendous. And well, again, with the addition of Rachel coming back, she's unlike anybody else. So really and truly having her back, it's been really, really beneficial for us.
Do you think fans get the whole connection between the World Cup and these women that are coming back from the World Cup? They're sprinkled throughout all the NWSL teams. Each and every weekend, you got seven players on the dash that have represented in the World Cup. Do you think that connection's there? And if it isn't, how do we make that a bigger connection?
I think the connection is actually definitely there. I think there was a lot of emphasis on it after the World Cup had ended, that you don't stop the support right here at the World Cup. All of these players, U.S. beyond, play in the NWSL, so the support needs to continue in the league. And I think you'll see the crowd continuously to keep growing as time goes on, because people are realizing that we have some world-class players on our team all around the U.S. So you'll see the crowd. I know last week when we were in Portland, they had a record crowd of 22,000. And that atmosphere was unreal, something I've never experienced in my whole life. So I think there is definitely some emphasis with it. I think there is a connection to it. And I think as the time goes on and, you know, you continue to keep, you know, marketing as well as the NWSL does, I think crowds across the country will continue to keep growing.
Sitara Murray of the Houston Dash joining us. Now, look, the biggest salespeople for the NWSL and the Dash are young ladies like you that are here right now on the radio talking about your game passionately, educated, incredible. You're incredible spokespeople for the game.
Right.
What disappoints me is we come back from these World Cups, we get these amazing national platforms on television, talk show, and nobody mentions the NWSL. It stuns me that we miss this. All you need to do at the end of the interview is remind the audience and the host and say, by the way, you can watch me week in and week out in the NWSL with all these other amazing world-class soccer players.
Yeah.
And I happen to play for Sky Blue. Right. I happen to play for the Houston Dash. I happen to play for whatever,
right,
the Portland Thorns. But I'm just blown away that is missed.
I guess you don't think about it, but you're absolutely right.
Somebody should be reminding people.
Exactly. I totally agree. And that's the only way the game is going to continue to keep growing is if people are like us and in the position continue to keep mentioning it and including people and telling them this is where we're doing, this is how we're doing it, this is how it's going. But I guess it's just, like you said, people just need to remind us just to do it.
All right. So, look, I played professionally in the 80s. We had to do the clinics.
Right.
You know, We were everywhere. We went places sometimes the morning on a game day. Okay, that's
right.
How different it was because you were in selling mode all the time. There was no social media. When you're in your locker room, do you feel like all of you have to be salespeople for the NWSL and the Dash now? Do you feel that? And do you think your teammates embrace that? Because to me, there's no question. I know exactly what I believe has to be going on.
Yeah, I would say, you know, everybody for the most part we're always on our phone. This generation, we're constantly on our phone. We're constantly on social media.
Yeah.
And I think along the way, we do obviously do things that promote Houston, the Houston Dash, you know, the city of Houston. And that whether that's going on Instagram and posting a story, posting a post, you know, doing game day posts, we are salespeople, essentially, if that's how you're kind of looking at it. But does it in a way kind of suck that we have to do this when other people should be doing it for us? Yeah, but that's just life in itself.
But isn't that part of the job description? Don't you want to be out at fields touching the hands of young ladies? I mean, isn't that the reality of where we are right now?
Yeah,
I mean,
is.
I know we want to be the Premier League of women's soccer.
We do.
But look, there were guys like me hanging off tree limbs, you know, trying to get some attention to sport of soccer. And unfortunately, I believe that's still part of, until you get the crowds, it's still part of the landscape.
Absolutely. But, again, that's what social media is for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think people do enjoy actually doing it. Personally, I love doing posts where I'm in my Dash, you know, kid. There's, like, maybe an action shot of me and you know, support, you know, showing that I play. This is what I can do. You can do the same thing as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for us, the biggest thing is touching the lives of the next generation and showing them that this can also be you. And for me personally, the plan is to make sure the next generation never has to go through what we had to go through in our time being professional soccer players. By time I'm like in my 40s, 50s, I want to make sure the girls who are coming up into the professional ranks have it
professional.
Exactly. Have it just like the men, if not better.
Yep.
That's ultimately the goal.
But is it always a measurement against the men?
Sometimes, no, it isn't. But sometimes you do have to compare them because playing in Liverpool and playing overseas and seeing the huge difference between the treatment between the men and the women, it's something that I would never wish on anybody else because it's so different. Here in the NWSL, I'm not really seeing it as much. I feel like we have really good treatment out here in terms of, you know, the resources that we have available to us are just like the men. So I do really appreciate that, but it still has a really long way to go.
Absolutely.
But I'm hoping with the U.S. and just with the Women's World Cup in general, that will kind of shine light on the fact that we're here and we're not going anywhere, and it's going to continue to keep getting better as years go on and on and on, and that's just women's soccer for you.
Yeah, and I think to me, the one, and we're talking to Sitara Murray of the Houston Dash, one of the big things out of the World Cup was just this legacy that the U.S., when it comes to women's soccer, has opened the door against bias and prejudice in all these other countries. And now we look and see Spain, the Netherlands. We see all these countries playing absolutely amazing soccer and doing it very quickly, and how quickly it's accelerated. I mean, the quality of that World Cup to me was mind-blowing.
It was world-class, most definitely. And, you know, credit to the U.S., obviously not having four World Cup championships, I mean, that's, like, unheard of. And it's incredible, but that shows the sort of talent that the United States has. And it's not only just the U.S., it's beyond that as well, too. I think teams like England, like you said, like the Netherlands and France and so on and so forth, they're such talented players. They're such talented teams. And it needs to be exposed even more. And I'm hoping people really saw the true talent on the biggest stage for soccer and realized that, wow, these women are literally elite in what they do. And that's that.
But by the way, the U.S. has a hand in the crystallization of the development of all of those countries in soccer, because if the U.S. wasn't pushing it globally and around the world, none of these people have made the jump to invest in it. So
absolutely,
all things in all due time. But the story to me that was not told was just how influential we as a country have been to the rest of the world when it comes to soccer and bias and prejudice.
Most definitely. I think, and it's funny you say that. One of my former teammates at Liverpool, they actually came out here to the States last week or a couple weeks ago, and one of the things that she said that actually drew my attention was that she said what she loved about America is, like, their love for women's soccer. And she's from Germany originally, so she's probably not used to that. So hearing her say that, and she was only out here for a few days, and the fact that she even noticed that and caught on to that, it does show you that the U.S. definitely is going in the right direction for women's soccer.
Sitara, thank you very much for joining us.
We wish
you the best of luck, Reign FC, on Friday. I'll be down at the stadium. I'll
awesome.
See you there. Thank you so
thank
much
you
for
so
coming
much.
Out here to Sugarland,
thank
Texas.
Thank you so much.
And Pacific Coast Tacos.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Have a great
day. All right, you too.
All right, that's Sitara Murray. Very excited she came out here tonight, and very thankful and grateful. Great conversation there with her. Going to take a break here. Tomorrow night, the MLS All-Star Game is around. Today, Bayern Munich 6-1 over Fenerbahce, and Audi Cup Spurs 1-0 over Real Madrid. Harry Kane, by the way, with the game winner there. Danielle De Rossi presented at Boca Juniors. A reversal. A Serie A legend going down to Boca Juniors and Argentina after 16 years at Roma. Unbelievable. Club legend just like Francesco Totti. We're going to take a break here. This break, again, by our presenting sponsor, Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. And also, again, a big thank you to the SnowdropFoundation.org out here today, getting set for the 8th annual TRC Run Over Cancer, presented by HCSS, benefiting Snowdrop Foundation. It's September 7th. It's right here, 5K, 10K, 1K. The event will benefit the Snowdrop Foundation and raise money for pediatric cancer research. We'll take a break from Pacific Coast Tacos in Sugarland. Yes, I am. Oh, I'm electric. I'm gonna lift it for me.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Pacific Coast Tacos in Sugarland for the Run Over Cancer Happy Hour Series. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, don't forget to go to Facebook Soccer Matters. We've got the Houston Community Soccer Dinner coming up. It benefits the Curing Children's Cancer Fund and the Snowdrop Foundation. Our speaker coming over from England, former Manchester United legend, Celtic legend, Brian McClair. Get over there. It's on Eventbrite. Come out to that event. That's all for a 501c charity. And by the way, Kevin Klein is going to be there. Tom Clare is going to be there. Myself, we're co-hosting this. But Brian McClair will be coming over here a week from tomorrow, I believe, to get... No, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And it's going to be an amazing event. It's only $110 for pediatric cancer awareness and raising funds. We have a signed Liverpool Champions League ball from that team. We have a trip to a Premier League game, all expenses paid to the team of your choice. There's some amazing stuff there. There's jerseys beyond belief. I think there's a signed Beckham and you name it. There's all kinds of great stuff there. By the way, Once the Dynamo game ended, my good pal Victor Ariza, who helps us out here with Soccer Matters, I ran to my car. I was driven to Energy Stadium. I got out. I ran about 400 yards. This is a guy who's got a hip replacement and knee replacement, sweating, thought I was going to have a heart attack. Got two wristbands. I was out front of Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones with 55,000 people. I just wanted to brag on my effort because I actually ran for the first time in a few years. Joining us now, Dave Yarno, assistant coach with the Houston Dynamo, also a incredible career in Major League Soccer, Sporting Kansas City, guy that's pretty much seen and done it all in Major League Soccer. Davey, thanks for coming out here.
Glenn, thanks for having me.
And your wife and your son are here, and the other thing is I found out that Pacific Coast Tacos is a place you come a lot.
It's a place we come. This is a dinner spot for us.
I think I need to move to Sugar Land. This is where the happening people
It's a good
spot.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Dynamo. And I want to get into this now because I think people are expecting me to kind of just get into where we are, this bit of a nosedive now. It's been a bit of a downward spiral. This was a disappointing loss, no bones about it, to Seattle. After the win in Toronto, obviously, where you regained some road confidence. You know, where's the team at right now? And what happens with the staff right now when you're dealing with these ups and downs of Major League Soccer?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no two ways about it. We're not in an easy moment right now, right? You have these, you know, throughout the season, you have these moments when there's kind of ups and downs. And, you know, we were in a really good way early on. And as you said, lately, we haven't been in a good way. The loss on Saturday, you know, it hurt because I felt like the game in Toronto, for us to go on the road in Toronto and get the result that we did, we felt like we kind of got ourselves back together. We got our confidence back. We felt like that, you know, we needed a win like that to kind of get us back on track. And I think in a lot of ways it did. What's disappointing, obviously, is the result against Seattle, because we felt like, you know, using the same team, we felt like we controlled the game for the most part. We played fairly well. It's one of those nights where we didn't create a ton of chances. You know, but even if we get out with a point, you still keep a little bit of momentum. But, you know, once we took a step back after and we analyzed the game after the fact, even though the result wasn't right, we still feel like we're sort of back on to us and back on track and hopefully going back the other way now as we approach the last part of the season.
You do have to ride the pitfalls and the waves in Major League Soccer. But sometimes I hear the players like, and you mentioned something very clear here, because your product in the final third wasn't good enough. Well, you know that.
Yeah.
I heard coaches say that.
Yeah.
And players will say, well, but we dominated possession. But it doesn't matter. I mean, they gave you the ball in the first half, didn't they? They didn't want the ball.
Yeah, and, well, you know, Wilmer made that point today. We talked about that. You know, I think we had around 30% of the ball in Toronto, and we had around 60% of the ball against Seattle. Yeah. You know, there's going to be some games where you dominate more of the ball and some games when you don't. But ultimately, it comes down to making plays in the areas that matter, making plays in the big moments. And we didn't do enough of that for sure against Seattle. We didn't create enough chances on the night, or as much as we're used to creating, especially at home. You know, but on the flip side, I think defensively we were good as a group, as we were, you know, in a tough place in Toronto. And felt like we did enough on the night, as I said, to at least get a point. But for sure, we need to create more chances so that we put ourselves in a better position to win the game, because we need to win these home games now. We know that.
Dave Yarno, assistant coach for the Houston Dynamo, amazing career. Scored a goal against Manchester United once in front of 50,000 people at Arrowhead Stadium. I also called games in the early years before MLS started zooming up with Dave Yarno in front of a couple thousand at Arrowhead Stadium. You saw something remarkable in Kansas City. I'm going to get to that in a minute because I want to stay on the Dynamo right now and not get pulled into that. That was a different game against Seattle because they don't have Raul Ruiz Diaz. You don't have Albert Elise and Ramel Kyoto. And three of those guys that make plays are not there. How different does that make that game? And how much more challenging maybe is that for a coaching staff? You know, when you have some of those guys that can turn a game in a moment not available for both teams.
Yeah, for sure. It changes things. And, you know, it changes our approach a little bit. And you can see from watching, you know, we have Tomas Martinez playing on one side and Memo Rodriguez. Now, their qualities are different from Romel Kyoto and Albert Ellis. I mean, they obviously bring two different skill sets, for lack of a better word, to the game. And it changes how we approach things. And we understand that, you know, at the end of the day, no matter who we have on the field, so we went to Toronto and we approached the game a certain way, where we felt like we were conceding. We felt like we were conceding too many goals, 5 in Atlanta, 3 to LAFC. So we felt like we needed to come back to be a team that defended with everybody as our starting point, and we were solid and not conceding chances. It worked out in Toronto. It felt like we were pretty good defensively, and we still had the players who created chances, maybe in different ways, not in the same ways that Albert or Romel will create chances, but in the ways that Memo and Tommy Mack and Tomas Martinez will create chances.
A lot of interchanging, too.
Exactly.
In that game,
there's interchanging. There's rotating. And then when you come home, especially playing against Seattle, they sat a little bit deeper, which makes it challenging, right? So you're not having as much time to or as much space to exploit in behind them. But having said that, we still need to find moments to be able to do that, and we didn't do that as well. Now, you don't have Albert, who does it very well, and you don't have Romel, who does it very well, but we still have players that are capable of doing that, even though that's not necessarily their biggest strength, who still need to find moments to do that, and we didn't do that.
Davey Arno, Dynamo assistant coach here. Dynamo in action against the Chicago Fire. Bastian Schweinsteiger, that game is on the Cube, by the way. Don't forget the Cube. They are the home of the Houston Dynamo. We love calling the games on the Cube. We appreciate the Cube's support of Houston Dynamo soccer. Join Eddie Robinson, myself, Cindy Bourbano, for the call of those games. I'm assuming Albert and Romel possibly going to be back in the lineup here, and then things change again, right? Because you have to play differently with them. So what kind of a team is the Dynamo, and is it one that's flexible in a lot of ways tactically? Because when you lose those two guys, right, your tactics change.
Yes, we become a different team, and having those guys, you know, we'll have Albert available now off of his suspension, which will obviously be important for us. Hopefully we have Romel available, who had a knock last week. But, you know, we've been very successful playing a certain type of, especially at home the last couple of years, playing with Romel, with Albert, and with Mauro Minotas. And what they bring is different than what those other guys bring that we talked about before. Having those guys available, teams are scared to come to Houston and play against those guys, and we understand that. It's about who we have available and maybe finding a balance of being super dynamic, especially on the break, but also being able to defend as a group. And we need to find that balance.
I really liked what you did on the road early in the season. Even in the two losses, I thought there was a mixture of areas of the field where you applied pressure, you just didn't sit in the low block. Yeah. It was surprising. It was less predictable. Will you be able to get back to that? I mean, the other thing is Romel Kyoto, Mauro Minotas, and Albert Delis, I'm just going off the top of my head, they've not played quite as much together as they have had in the past because of injuries to Kyoto and
injuries,
call-ups.
We had the Gold Cup where we lost those guys for a long time. As you said, suspensions, injuries. We haven't had the opportunity to play those guys consistently together. As we're moving forward now again, especially on the road, Glenn, when you go on the road, it's tough to go on the road in MLS. We know that. It's been that way for years, and it doesn't look like it's changing too much in the near future. So when you go on the road, you have to, first and foremost, we have to be solid as a group, right? We have to defend as a group, and that doesn't mean we have to defend on top of our own box. Like you said, we can be a little higher up the field, and we understand that. But we need to, especially when we go away from home, have a group on the field that's all bought into to defending together and all bought into attacking together. And I think when we have those guys that you talked about, Albert, Romel, Mauro, the guys who are super dangerous on the counterattack and super dangerous weapons going forward, if we have them all bought in on the same page defending for the group, it makes us better. It's about finding a balance, and especially on the road. At home, it can change a little bit, right? We've been playing a certain way at home now for a few years, and it's been pretty successful. It changes a little bit when you go away from home.
So with the road record, what has been the problem? Has it been getting that full buy-in from everybody and understanding the way you're approaching the game? What is it? Is it confidence? Because, you know, this is a lot of years. I mean, even prior to you being on the staff here, mm-hmm. Dynamo teams historically have had it rough on the road in the last 5 years.
I don't know if you can point to one thing in particular. I mean, it's already, you know, it's tough for any team to go and win on the road. I mean, if you look across the league, I think we have two road wins this year. I think there's a handful of teams that probably have two road wins this year, and that's not to say that that's good enough. We know that that's not good enough. We want to be better on the road. But, you know, I think what we did in Toronto gave a really good picture of what we can look like on the road and what we can be on the road. And I think that approach that we took in Toronto gives us a better chance to consistently get points on the road when we're solid defensively.
But that means you're moving off the position of the early year, because the early year in L.A. and Seattle, there was higher pressure in a lot of areas. So are you changing it up a little bit now to try and figure it out?
And
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to assess what has given you success, right? And a lot of times it's not, you know, a lot of times it's based off the opponent as well, right? So you have to be, you talked about flexibility. You have to be flexible based on who you're going to play, right? Your approach is your approach. And like you said earlier in the year, we were doing it a certain way. But you always have to tweak certain things based on the opponent. Now, if we haven't had success for a few years on the road, and now we've gone to Toronto and taken a little bit of a different approach and had such a good result, we have to look at it and say, okay, hang on, maybe this is the way now that we need to move forward, especially playing away from home.
Dynamo assistant Davey Arnold joining us out here at Pacific Coast Tacos. Appreciate how candid you're being here. How about Jose Bezama, the Chilean that's been signed? He's a right back. I've seen some footage of him. Guy looks like a very good player. Can get up and down. When do you expect him to be in the fold and available for selection?
Yeah, we're hoping he can get his paperwork done as soon as possible. We're not sure of the exact timeline, but we're hoping to have him as soon as we can, because we're excited about the type of player he is. Like you said, he's very good getting forward. He likes to join the attack. He's a good defender as well. So as soon as all the paperwork gets done, which is out of our hands a little bit, as soon as that gets done, we're ready to have him in the mix and add to our group.
How's the mood in training this week ahead of the final?
It's been good, you know, and I think that result in Toronto, again, we were in a difficult patch before that, and that result in Toronto, I felt like really got us back in a good way. The atmosphere has been good in training. The mood and the vibe has been good in training, and it was the same today. You know, I know our guys had a barbecue together, a team kind of barbecue bonding type thing, which is good to see. And you know, I think even though we're not exactly where we want to be right now, we feel like we're in a position where we can be where we want to be moving forward.
Still a lot of points out there. Still a lot of soccer to be played. It's only the All-Star break right now.
Yeah.
Davey Arnold joining us here in Sugar Land, Texas, Pacific Coast Tacos. One of the all-time greats. We didn't even get to talk about his playing career, but that means you're going to have to just come back on the show.
Awesome. Thanks, Lynn. All right. Appreciate it. Yep.
Davey Arnold, best of luck against Chicago. By the way, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. Dynamo Chicago Fire Saturday night. We're going to take John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They'll cover you, car, boat, motorcycle, refinery, you name it, the accident. They are personal injury attorneys. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, are presenting sponsors. We'll take a break here from Pacific Coast Tacos in Sugar Land.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Pacific Coast Tacos in Sugar Land for the Run Over Cancer Happy Hour Series. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, big thanks to my friends at Advantage BMW Midtown. I'll be down there tomorrow seeing all the guys down there. They are big supporters of this show. We just did a live show at Advantage BMW Midtown, so if you want to get outfitted in a vehicle, get down there. Also, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, great spot going out on I-10 near the Marquee Entertainment Center. Cube 57, our television partners. We will be on Eddie Robinson, myself, Cindy Bourbano, calling the Dynamo Chicago game this Saturday. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. And, of course, head into Kings Court pregame for both the Dash game on Friday night And on Saturday, Kings Court, go in there, say hello to Jay and Megan. So lots happening up in Austin, Texas as well. Austin FC announced a while back. Now they have announced their manager. He is a former teammate of Dave Yarno, who was just on this show. This was announced a couple days ago. He is Josh Wolf, who's an assistant with Greg Berhalter in the U.S. men's national team. Had a stellar playing career. Here's my interview a few days ago with Josh Wolf, the new coach of Austin FC. Well, let's just first start off just, you know, how are you feeling after getting sort of this out of the way here, the announcement that you're going to be the head coach now of Austin FC?
Yeah, I think it's obviously a big story, and there's a lot going on initially, and then as it settles down, now you can start thinking about how things will start to progress. Obviously, I got to finish. I have 4 months, 5 months still with U.S. soccer through the beginning of the year, and I think when that concludes, I'll be able to certainly put more effort and time into Austin FC. But having said that, I will have time to dive into Austin and visit Austin between now and then. But, you know, it will be good to get started.
Josh, your body of work is amazing. Always enjoyed calling your games when you were playing in Major League Soccer and for the U.S. And, of course, you've done the work coaching-wise. You know, not everybody's willing to do that. You've been around a ton of very interesting coaches and some of the most successful managers in U.S. soccer history. Just speak to the coaching side of it. And at what point when you got into the coaching side of it, were you able to finally push to the side the playing side of it? You know, because we've seen so many great ex-players where they've not been able to manage the ego when it comes to the coaching side of it.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think you play the game, and it's as a player, it's a lot of, you know, obviously you're part of a team, and there's a big emphasis on the individual aspect. And I think when you start to think about being a coach, it's very much about the selfless, and it's about the collective, and you know, building an environment, building relationships with players. And I think that's something that's certainly you know, been a big part of my upbringing and in my last 5 or 6 years. And then there's the side of actually coaching and teaching, having the acumen, the understanding of what it is you're trying to achieve and how to go out and train it so that your players can understand it and actually you know, provide what it is you're trying to teach. So my last 5 or 6 years with Greg have been highly influential in my development as a coach, and I wouldn't be in this position to be the head coach of Austin FC if it weren't for that time. So very grateful for that. And as you said, there were a lot of notable coaches and players along the way, Bob Bradley and Bruce Arena, Peter Vermes, Ben Olsen, you know, Chris Armish, Jesse Marsh. These are all teammates or coaches that I've had that, again, I think have put in the work and helped provide, you know, the opportunity for all of us and given us the education to be in this position. And I feel confident about taking this role because of all the things that I've experienced and the people that I've come in contact with.
He's Josh Wolf. By the way, he played college soccer at South Carolina, grew up Stone Mountain, Georgia. Of course, over 50 caps for the United States national team, boatload of goals in Major League Soccer, won MLS Cups. He's pretty much done it all, scored in World Cup qualifying against Mexico, very memorable goal in 2001 in Columbus, Ohio. Greg Berhalter, what would be your one big takeaway from all your years with him when it comes to, you know, something you'd put in your coaching memory bank?
Yeah, to put one thing is difficult. Greg's ability to identify what it is he wants to teach and to now relay that to the players in a very simple, digestible manner is extremely rare and extremely valuable. And I think to the way that we played in Columbus and the way that we're trying to play with the national team is evident in that. His ability to see it, teach it, train it, and then refine it is something that I hope to utilize in my coaching career. And I find great value in the way that he prepares and the way that he detailed. And a lot of that has to do with his ability to constantly stay in contact and communicate with the players. So there are a lot of things that I will take away from the last 5 or 6 years with Greg. And I still look forward to the next 4 or 5 months alongside him, helping guide the U.S. men's national team. And there's still a lot of work to be done there. But we feel like it's going in the right direction. And a lot of growth has been made in 6 months so far.
Josh Wolf joining us. He is your new head coach of Austin FC, which will begin play in less than 2 years. the timing of this in your coaching career? Obviously, you felt you're ready to be a manager and a head coach now after getting all these experiences. At what point were you beginning to think, you know, okay, it's getting to be my time now?
Yeah, I think, it's coaching isn't one of those things where you wake up and you feel like you're all of a sudden ready. I think as a player, you find and reflect and look back and how you've developed. And again, I think my experiences as a player and my experience as a coach, my experience in MLS the last 20 years has prepared me for that. And I feel very comfortable with the idea of being a head coach and understanding what it's going to look like and building a team and building out a culture and implementing a style of play and certainly maintaining a strong game model. So, again, a lot of what's gone into today is the people that I've been around and the experiences and situations that I've come through as a player and a coach. And very excited with the opportunity with Austin FC and Anthony and, you know, certainly delighted by the opportunity and also very grateful for U.S. Soccer for allowing me the opportunity to explore this option. And when it came to light that I would be accepted as a head coach, I was able to take it.
And all these experiences you've had, listen, you've had so many positive things happen. I'm just looking at your resume. It's an amazing body of work you put together. Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cups, MLS Cups, you know, all the success with the national team and all these appearances in different tournaments. Of course, the 2002 World Cup, you name it, you've pretty much done it all. But you've also had disappointment in your career because everybody in your position has. And I would assume that those times of disappointment, whether you've been an assistant coach, a player, these are things that have served you well, and these are things you've also learned from.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, those disappointments you need to learn from. It allows you the opportunity to reflect. And as a player and as a coach, each and every day, I think that's something, you know, we've instilled in the environment that I've been in is just that. You try to find ways to make yourself better. As a player, you did it. As a coach, you have to do it because, again, I will now be overseeing, you know, 25, 30 players as well as, you know, 15 to 20 staff members. And it needs a support system and it needs conversation and needs collaboration. And, you know, in order to be successful, you're going to have to lean on your peers and certainly the staff around you. And I expect to do that as well at Austin FC. But you utilize everything, wins, losses, emotional success, emotional failure. So it's all something to reflect on from and make you better going forward. So it's absolutely paramount, as you said.
He's Josh Wolf, just named the Austin FC coach. By the way, you were named at a very historic venue when it comes to music at the Continental Club there on South Congress. What did you think of that? I thought that was just a brilliant stroke to do your announcement there.
Yeah, it was. It's a unique place. Certainly a lot of culture, very, very Austin in its nature. And yeah, historical area, historical place. And we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. I was able to have my family there. And obviously it's a nice, tight, very character-driven facility. It was good.
Yeah, you were standing on a stage where many, many a great musician is. Yeah. Now we got our first great soccer player up there now, finally. So I thought that was wonderful when I saw the announcement coming out. You were just an amazing player. I loved the part of your game that I really loved was your mobility and movement. It was breathtaking at times when you'd peel off defenders and people would lay balls onto you. I remember this movement from you vividly. When it comes to strikers and your movement and mobility in your day, you know, where did that come from? Was that instinctual? Did you have a coach that, you know, taught you about the movement and mobility? How did that come about in your personal game?
Well, I appreciate the kind words. I think it was instinctual. I also think when I think of the environment and the coaches I'm around, the players that I was around, certainly in my younger years in Chicago, I have to believe there was a big influence on me as a player with the likes of Bob Bradley and even Ante Razov, Risto Stoichkov, Peter Novak. So, again, when you talk about learning the game and being in an environment to learn, it's about the coaches, it's about the players, and it's about the instruction. So it's something that, you know, for me, understanding who I was as a player and how I was going to hurt the opponent was clear. Once you get into those situations, it's how you deal with those situations and take your goals or don't take your goals. But I think those types of things are critical all over the field. The spacing and the connection needs to be maintained. The understanding of timing of runs behind the line and how to be in situations that question or ask questions of the opponent are critical. And when you do that as a striker, it gets you to goal. When you do that as a midfielder or someone further in the, you know, a little bit lower in the field, it's about breaking lines. But each player in each position can have a huge impact on the game if they can understand the connections and the positioning and again, the fluidity to run behind lines and to get the timing right. So it was something that, you know, I'm not sure how or why it stuck with me or was something that I was good at, but it was something I geared my game around without a doubt.
How much has MLS changed in your estimation now as you've been a coach in the league and seen it change in a variety of ways since your playing days, Josh?
Yeah, it's from my playing days, it's almost unrecognizable. And I look at the last 3 to 5 years of growth in our league with the talk of this league being a league of destination or a league of choice for players. It's a league of choice for players and coaches now. And I think the combination of those are giving our players and our fan base and just our soccer culture a real strong validation as to how far we've come and how far we can continue to go, because you know, there's a variety of ways to play the game, and that's what I think I love about MLS more now than anything, is there are coaches that present the game in completely different ways, but they're their ways and they're unique and they go about it and they stick to it, and it makes for interesting matchups. From an individual level, again, we are having players come from international markets now at a much younger age that have greater impact and come into our league, develop, and move out of our league. So those things weren't happening 10 years ago in MLS. And I think it has to do with certainly the leadership, you know, Don Garber and his ability to continue to grow the league, but also all the new ownership and the ability to spend and spend in the right ways and build stadiums and cultures and environments that have allowed soccer to grow and become a very powerful sport in America.
To that point, Josh, do you think there are more game changers in the league now? In other words, when I look at Portland and Seattle, you know, they're getting designated players. They pick a Brian Fernandez. Here's a guy that doesn't skip a beat, doesn't need any time to adjust to the league, and he's banging in goals the minute he gets here. Raul Ruiz Diaz, another one with Seattle. It seems to be that the designated player is a younger guy, and it's a guy that's an instant impact guy.
Yeah, and it's important, again, I think, you know, it's also recognized that the level of detail that has to go into those signings. I mean, those are signings and probably price tags that are escalating, and it's important that you do your work and the research to find out exactly what that player is like, how he's going to fit into those markets and those game models, and that's part of it, because it's not always successes, but you know, I think the teams that get that right put themselves in a real position to have success in the league, to be in the playoffs, but at the end of the day, compete for championships. And that's a validation and indication of a lot of teams around the league now. And that bodes well for the future of MLS, without a doubt.
Austin FC manager Josh Wolf announced that he will be in charge of the MLS team in the future. Great news for Austin, Texas, getting a man that not only had an outstanding playing career, but has done a tremendous amount of work on the coaching side. Influences that you got when you were wedged in between as a player, your two stints in Kansas City, you went to 1860 Munich, and I would assume that there was a tremendous amount of great learning that went on there as well.
Yeah, I would. If I had to say what moment kind of triggered my thought or swing of coaching being an option, it was when I came back from Germany. I went to Germany at 29 and spent, you know, not quite 2 years there, but it was, again, a good moment to play abroad and to see different challenges and be in different environments. And the game was presented in a different way to me, and it was taught in a different way. For me, coming out of that, and, you know, whether it was successful or unsuccessful was irrelevant. It provided, you know, a layer of information and knowledge to me and certainly grew my desires in other areas as well, which as I came back, I went and got my B license and quickly got my A when I joined Columbus Crew, and I'd say that kind of started my fire for being a coach, and then being in and around the environment with Greg and Columbus the last 5 years has only fueled that and added to my understanding of what it looks like from a day-to-day operation. But Germany was a great opportunity, and on the field as well as off the field.
So moving your family, when will you ultimately get settled in Austin?
We'll finish up with my responsibilities with U.S. Soccer. We've got a few events, obviously, upcoming in August, or I'm sorry, early September, October, November. And then as that concludes, the goal will be to get the family to Austin shortly thereafter.
Austin, Texas, you got a great one. Josh Wolf, former U.S. international, has done the work coaching-wise. Josh, congratulations, first of all. And, again, thank you for a really, really interesting and clear interview here. I thank you very much for taking the time. I know it's been a very busy day for you.
No, I appreciate it. I thank you for having me, and wish you all the best. Appreciate it, Glenn.
All right, so that's Josh Wolf. He is the new manager of Austin FC. They will begin play in less than 2 years. A big thank you here tonight to Pacific Coast Tacos out here in Sugar Land. All our great guests here on the show tonight, Kevin Klein, Davey Arno, Brian Ching, Sitara Murray. We've been treated wonderfully out here at Pacific Coast Tacos, so we thank you for that, for all that came out as well. By the way, podcastarena.com is where you get the podcast, or on iTunes for Tyler Scott, Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza. I wanted to shout out, too, to Matt Jackson for showing up as well and talking a bit of soccer. It's great when you walk in here and people are talking soccer. Kids are walking around with soccer balls. It's a lot of fun. Dynamo will take on the Chicago Fire on Saturday. That game is on the Cube, so join Eddie Robinson and Cindy Bourbano and myself. And then Friday night, it is the Houston Dash. They will be taking on Reign FC. That game will be on ESPN. Get down to the stadium for both of these live soccer rules. Until next time, Soccer Matters. I'm Glenn Davis.
ESPN. 97.5.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at cargurus.com. Go to cargurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CARGURUS.com. CarGurus.com.